Now, do you remember last year's big craze, the mannequin challenge? Or what about the Harlem Shake? Or maybe the Ice Bucket Challenge? Now, the chances are you probably recall at least one of them. And that's because they all went viral. Tom Crawford decided to find out if there's any science behind why things become popular like this. So he spoke to Jonah Berger, who's professor of marketing at the University of Pennsylvania and also the author of the book Contagious.
We see things catch on all the time, and we might think it's random or it's luck or it's chance, but there's really a science there. It's driven in part by word of mouth, what people share with one another, but also merely seeing others do something can lead us to do it and lead that things to catch on. It's not necessarily always the best things that went out or the cheapest ones or the ones that have the biggest advertising, but it's really the ones that fit with us, our underlying psychology, why we share things, why we imitate others, and those underlying steps. And steps is a framework that stands for social currency, triggers, emotion, public, practical value, and stories. And each of those is a reason that drives people to share or why we imitate others and leads all sorts of things to catch on.
You mentioned there steps and these sort of six factors. So I guess let's talk a little bit more about each of them.
The first part of the steps framework is the idea of social currency. And the simple point there is the better something makes us look, the more likely we are to share it with others. So, for example, there's a great restaurant in New York City called Criff Dogs. It's a hot dog restaurant. But once you finish eating your wonderful hot dog, in the corner of the room is a phone booth. And if you walk inside, and there's a rotary dial phone on the inside, and if you stick your finger in one of the numbers and go around in a circle and hold the receiver up to your ear, the phone will actually ring, and they'll ask you if you have a reservation. And essentially, hidden inside this hot dog restaurant is a bar that you walk in through a phone booth. Never advertised, they're hugely successful. And if you think about why, the simple reason is it's a secret, right? And the first thing we do when someone tells us a secret is, well, we tell someone else, right? Because it makes us look really good to know things that make us look like insiders, make us look like smart, special, in the know. If you look online, for example, most things people share are positive. Look at me, I went on vacation. Look at me, I met a celebrity. Look at me, I got a new car. We don't really share, you know, hey, look at me, I'm at the office working on an Excel spreadsheet. Check out column C. We share things that make us look smart. They make us look cool. They make us look interesting. They make us look like foodies or into sports. And so social currency is all about, well, the better something makes us look, the more likely we are to pass it on.
Okay. And what about the other aspects of steps?
So another idea is public. And the idea there is the easier something is to see, the easier it is to imitate. So we've been talking about word of mouth, the idea that sometimes people share things with others. But sometimes the mere fact that someone else is doing something makes us more likely to do it. We may see someone wearing a certain shirt, for example, or a certain car, and be more likely to do the same. We've all heard that phrase, monkey see, monkey do. The notion that, well, monkeys do what other monkeys are doing. And that makes a lot of sense. But the see part is just as important as the do part. If one monkey can't see what another monkey's doing, they can't imitate it. We all, you know, if we've been to a foreign city, for example, and we're trying to figure where to go out to eat, we often use a time-tested trick. And that is, well, look for a place that's full. We assume if it's full, it must be pretty good, right? We're using others as a signal of information. They don't need to tell us that it's good. The mere fact that the restaurant's full, we use that as social proof, as information that it must be good. But notice we can only do that if we can see inside the restaurant. If we can't see it, we can't imitate it.
Is that almost perhaps an evolutionary trait in humans to sort of follow the crowd?
You know, think about how difficult it would be if we couldn't use others as a source of information. If every time we made a decision, we had to do it entirely independently of everyone else. If you moved to a new city, you had to find a car mechanic. You had to go by mechanic to mechanic to mechanic, ask them how good they were, ask them how much it would cost, even give them a trial run to see if it was any good. Life would be impossible. And so other people are a simple shortcut that often make choice faster and easier. And so certainly there's an evolutionary advantage. It makes life better and easier to rely on others than simply relying on ourselves.
And what about the thought that sometimes people want to be unique and want to be original and sort of differ from the crowd?
It's a great question. And actually, my most recent book, Invisible Influence, talks exactly about this tension. On the one hand, we want to be similar to others. Others is a signal that something is good, and we want to be a good member of the group. We want to fit in. If we're out to dinner, for example, and we want to order dessert, but no one else wants to order dessert, we probably skip it, mainly because we think people look at us funny if we're the only person at the table ordering dessert. So lots of time we go along with the crowd and jump on the bandwagon. at the same time, we also don't want to be exactly the same as everybody else, right? We've all had that feeling where we wear a similar shirt to someone else at a party or event and we go, oh God, we're dressed exactly the same, and we don't like it. We don't want to be exactly the same. And so we do, as you noted, have a drive for differentiation, a drive to be unique, to stand out. And so these two things seem like they're opposing, right? The drive to be similar and fit in and the drive to be different and stand out. But often we choose in ways that allow us to do both at the same time or be what's called optimally distinct, right? We buy the same car, but a different color, allowing us to signal that desired identity, right? To be part of a group, to signal something we want to communicate, but also to feel different. So we can point out a way in which we're unique and separate from everybody else.
And just finally then, if somebody is trying to make something popular, what's your sort of top tip?
Yeah, I think... Again, when we want to make something popular, we think it's just luck, right? I think it's all about, you know, getting lightning in a bottle or something along the lines. But it's not. There's really a science there. And so I would say that one tip is understand why people do what they do. Don't think about the technology, hop on social media and think that's the key. The key is really the psychology. Why do people talk and share in the first place? If we understand that, if we understand how social influence works, then we can get anything to catch on. We can craft more contagious content. We can build more successful products and ideas, and we can get our stuff to become more popular.
Well, we'll bear that in mind in the Naked Scientist production office. That was Jonah Berger there, and he was speaking with Tom Crawford, and his new book, Invisible Influence, is out now.